with you. Welcome to worship at Knox United Church. We're worshiping today in a new way. And just for your imagination, who is here is Jenny Vincent is here on the piano and on the organ. And Sandy McCann is safely tucked away in the sound booth. And me, Jennifer Ferguson, I'm here as usual in the pulpit. And so we are at a safe social distance, but we're here to support one another and all of you. So we begin worship. We have already heard Jenny on the organ. And now we begin by lighting the Christ candle. Reminder that the light of Christ is with us in this place. And we invite you to light your own candle each week, wherever you are at home, as a reminder that the Spirit of Christ is also with you. And in the same way, we are reminded that even though we are worshiping in different places and spaces, and we are far apart from one another because of this virus and trying to keep safe, we are still connected. And so I invite you to pass the peace with one another by closing your eyes and outstretching your hands and sharing the peace with all those faces that we see every Sunday morning, virtual hugs, and take a moment to do that, to send our love and peace to one another and to the world. Our meditation today comes from Yoda in Star Wars, where he reminds us that fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger, and anger leads to hate, and hate leads to suffering. And so as we move from fear and anger, we move to the Enneagram virtues of faith and serenity. And James E. Faust wrote, "A conviction that you are an expression of the divine gives you a feeling of comfort in your self-worth. It will help you meet the heartaches and challenges with faith and serenity." We are reminded that that is how Jesus met fear and anger, with faith and serenity. And so we sing together, "He Came Singing Love," and we listen to Jenny play, and you are welcome to sing at home or just simply listen to the beauty and faith and serenity of Jenny's music. Let us pray. Sacred source of all life, we give thanks that wherever we may be, your Holy Spirit meets us there, for you dwell within each one of us, bringing us hope and peace, joy and love, even in the most challenging of times. May we sense your Holy Spirit present with us this day. May we sense your peace which passes all understanding. Give us the courage we need to meet these challenging days. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew. And there are two stories, the story of Peter and the story of the soldiers at the time of Jesus' crucifixion. We read first the story of Peter. When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But Peter denied it before all of them, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, Peter denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly, you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then Peter began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know the man." At that moment, the rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And the story of Jesus and the soldiers. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking Jesus, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. It is a hard passage to hear, and it's a hard time that we're living in. And so as we begin with a reflection, a little levity and lightheartedness, there are lots of jokes actually going around on social media to keep our spirits up. So life under the coronavirus lockdown We can find some jokes like this, and here's a couple of them. As someone wrote on social media, in an unsettling reversal of my teenage years, I am now yelling at my parents for going out. And here's a coronavirus joke. A child is speaking to his father. Dad, why did you call my sister Paris? Oh, well, that's because that is where she was conceived. The child to the father. Oh, thanks, Dad. Now I understand. The father responds, no problem, quarantine. Since the first Sunday of Lent, as part of our spiritual Lenten journey, and we're doing our soul work, we have been exploring the movements of the Enneagram, from our vices or shadow sides of our personality, moving to the virtues and soul essence of ourselves. If you turn to the back of your bulletin, if you have one, or if you can see it on your website, you will find the Enneagram diagram as created by Bolivian Oscar Achatzo. A few weeks ago, we explored vices at point 4 of envy, moving to the virtue of point 4 at equanimity, and point 5 of avarice, moving to the virtue of non-attachment. The following week, we reflected on point 2 with the vice of pride, moving to humility, and point 3, moving from the vice of deceit to the virtue of truthfulness or honesty. And last Sunday, we examined point 9, moving from the vice of sloth and being asleep to the virtue of right action. So this week, we are reflecting again on 2 of the Enneagram points. At point 6 of fear, moving to point 6 of courage or faith, and at point 1, the vice of anger and resentment, and moving to the virtue at point 1 of serenity. So let's begin this spiritual journey. Before we begin, I've discovered in my life that the Spirit of God or higher power or Allah or Yahweh or whatever name you want to call the divine love that infuses all of creation is always way ahead of us and helping us to face what we need to face, and is truly guiding us. And so I think it is no coincidence that on this week of all weeks, we are being asked to explore this movement from fear to courage and faith, and this move from anger to serenity. We are needing all those things. And so already we can trust that divine love, the Spirit of God, is surrounding us and helping us to move through this time in our world history. For this week of all weeks in the world, we are coming to face the new reality that we are facing something we have never experienced before as a global community. We are living through something that no humans have ever lived through before, a worldwide pandemic of this magnitude, a virus that we have all come to know intimately by name as COVID-19. And so in this unprecedented, uncertain time, we are experiencing an entire planet filled with fear. Since the identification of this virus in December in Wuhan, China, until now, there are few places in the world, 6 continents of the 7, that have not been touched by this virus. And while this may not be the deadliest virus that has ever impacted the world so far, its rate of contagion and the impact of the sick on our healthcare systems make it challenging. As of this moment, statistics indicate that there are 277,055 people with COVID-19 worldwide. And as of today, March 21st, there are 11,423 people who have died from it throughout our globe. In our efforts to slow the virus and lessen the impact, many societies around the world have come to a standstill, with schools, places of worship, buildings, businesses closing down. The global economy seems to be crashing and stock markets are struggling. People are losing jobs or being furloughed or reduced hours or being put on notice, and governments are working night and day to bring stranded citizens home amidst closed country borders. The government is seeking to find ways to shore up people's livelihoods so we can have the basic necessities of life. In these last few weeks, we in Canada have discovered that these kinds of things don't just happen across the sea. but here at home. We have come to suddenly understand that our worldwide interdependent infrastructure is vulnerable. And it only takes a microscopic virus invisible to the eye to bring the entire planet to a halt and remind us of how fragile we humans truly are. This virus has leveled the playing field and brought us to the realization that if we didn't know it already, it doesn't take much to know what our most vulnerable among us have known for a while and what our grandparents who lived through world wars understood, that none of us can take life on planet Earth for granted, that we can't always find the food or basic necessities we need in a grocery store when we need them. And we never know when we might not be able to make our mortgage or rent payment because we could suddenly lose our jobs through no fault of our own. I hope this crisis will truly be a turning point in our society, because that is what the word crisis means in Greek, a turning point, an opportunity to turn things around. Because as a global community, we are all aware that we have been going in a negative direction, and now we have a chance to shift from competition and greed and bring forth goodwill and collaboration for the common good of everyone. I have hope that this crisis will teach us that we can indeed stand in solidarity with one another rather than trying to race one another to some top, because we have discovered that even the top can come crumbling down in the blink of an eye. And so this is a humbling time for us as a global community, and this is a fearful time as we live in this cloud of unknowing. Similarly, anger is also running rampant in the streets, hand in hand with fear. People who went on trips around the world are angry at the government for not doing more to bring them home. People openly criticizing world leaders for not doing more, expecting them to attend to their personal disaster yesterday. Everyone is crying for help. And so we are seeing two human vices of fear and anger rising to the fore. So how do we respond as people who seek not to be full of self, but full of soul? In Sandra Maitrey's book, The Enneagram of Passions and Virtues, she reminds us that when we find ourselves sitting at point six in fear, we need to accept it for what it is and discover what it is exactly we are afraid of, and then allow ourselves to feel the fear, to recognize it and acknowledge it for what it is, and ask ourselves, where does it come from? Is it reasonable? Is it appropriate? And as we learn to sit with our fear, we can then begin to face it, to make the movement toward the virtue of courage. We do this by recognizing the source of our fears and anxieties and worries. It's important to recognize that many of our fears first appeared in childhood when we did not have the capacity to self-determine our own lives or to act. But we are reminded that we are not children any longer, and we realize we could move to courage and faith and trust in ourselves and in our own adult capacity to cope. And you and I come to realize that we have survived many challenges and experiences in our lives already. You and I have overcome difficulties many times before, and we can survive this new challenge too. It is important that as we learn to sit with our fear and name them and recognize them for what they are, not minimize them, for they are real, we learn not to run or escape them, but to face them and begin to place our faith and trust in ourselves and in each other. To move from fear at point six to courage and faith, we need to begin to have faith in ourselves and each other that we can indeed find a new way forward. And we begin to discover the courage that is both within ourselves and in all the people around us, the courage to do the challenging things. Similarly, when Maitrey looks at the anger and resentment at point one, what is happening is that we are being overtaken by our thoughts at this point. And our thoughts have become the overly critical voice in our head, telling us that we're not good enough, or that we shouldn't have said this or done that or behaved in this manner. And then we take that incessant critical voice in our head and we beat ourselves and others up with our strong opinions and evaluations and judgments about what we or another should or shouldn't be doing, and we throw it on the internet. At point one on the Enneagram of Vices, the critical voice in our head has taken over, and all of the comparative judgments and thoughts we make about ourselves or others overwhelm and enrage us. Our fear overtakes us and leads to anger. And because we or the world are not acting like we think it should, we become enraged that the world is not as it should be and that it needs to get fixed. And we come to believe that if only people would think and act like we think and act, things would be much improved. At point one, our anger is at full tilt and we're on a roll. And no one can stop our tirade because someone must be to blame for this mess. Didn't people see it coming? Weren't they warned? Why doesn't somebody do something more? It is important that just as we acknowledge the fears we experienced in childhood, that we recognize the critical parental voice in our heads that we listen to as children. The child being shamed or condemned for bad behavior, being told to sit in the corner or go to our room, or worse. Once we recognize the source of that critical voice, we need to recognize that we are indeed good enough, and the world is full of goodness also. That more often, people are getting it right more than we're getting it wrong. Moving from point one of anger and resentment to the virtue of serenity at point one is to come to a place of acceptance, to see the goodness in oneself and in others, and to realize that things are unfolding as they are unfolding and reality is what it is, and we need to face and accept things as they are, not how we wish they were or used to be or should be. In serenity, we realize that there are many things beyond our control. But what we can do is infuse the good where we can. We can let go of not being able to fix the whole thing and seek ways we can infuse goodness into the world. Because we have realized that we are mostly good, and so is everyone else. And so the beauty of the Enneagram is that we can see ourselves at point six of fear and move to courage and faith. And we can make a movement from point one of anger to a state of serenity. Our Enneagram diagram identifies how we can all be in those emotional states of fear and anger, especially in times of crisis. But the Enneagram also reveals to us the path forward to courage and serenity, to faith in ourselves and one another. The soul journey is the journey from vice to virtue, from self to soul, from our worst ego self to our divine true self. It is the journey home. We see this journey in the stories of Jesus that we heard today. On the brink of Jesus' crucifixion, Peter understood what it was to be paralyzed by fear, of not being in control of the dreadful things that were unfolding. And he was so afraid that he forgot who he was. Afraid of not surviving, he bitterly disappoints himself and betrays himself and the man he called his teacher and friend. Similarly, when Jesus is brought to the soldiers, their anger and mockery of him is ignited, and they spit on him and call him names, and in their anger and resentment toward him, they set out to torture him without mercy. And in their raging hatred, the soldiers and government leaders lose themselves. They lose the best essence of who they are and allow their fear and anger overtake the best of them. As Yoda says, fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. Peter and the soldiers remind us that we must not let our fears overtake us or allow our base human instincts for survival or that feeling that we are better than another make us lose our compassion and understanding of each other. When facing the specter of death on the cross, just as Jesus didn't lose his compassion for the soldiers or the oppressive government leaders or the disciples, he forgave them their anger and hatred and mockery and torture, saying, "Forgive them. They know not what they do." And likewise, Jesus didn't give up on Peter's fear and cowardice and betrayal, but came to him once again in spirit and invited him on the beach to go forth into the world and to feed the people with the greatest power of them all, the power of love. Why Good Friday is called good, even though it was obviously a very bad day for Jesus and the followers of the way, and why is it is a story that has survived for 2,000 years, is because it is a story of amazing grace. In the midst of darkness, it is a story that shines as a story of hope. In a time of fear and anger and raging, it rises up as a story of love and forgiveness and compassion. In the midst and fear of death, it emerges as a story of resurrection and hope and new life. Right now, we are only at the beginning of this new story of the world. We aren't even in the middle yet. And we have an opportunity to write a glorious new chapter of how the world transformed for the better through this crisis point in our world history. So let's write a glorious middle. For that's how we as followers of the Way of Compassion are to face our fear and mobilize our anger, by doing what needs to be done to help the world. To stay at home and stay safe and keep others safe. To not go into public places, as tempting as that is, and keep the virus contained so people who do get sick can get the help they need. Let's share the food and resources that we have, not hoard them. Let's have compassion for those who are struggling to survive. To bring some food for the homeless to the church parking lot on Friday morning when good folks of Knox will take tins to the manna truck. Please watch your e-news this week. Let's help the world by sending words of encouragement and hope and prayer to your loved ones. Keep connected through phone calls to each other because of the Knox Crisis Team organizing a call-out list this week. Let's have great faith in the goodness of this world. All sorts of people are writing funny videos to keep people laughing through this time. People are sharing their resources with one another in spite of some hoarding. Health workers and government officials and church leaders are working night and day to make sure people are cared for. All of the Knox teams are doing what they can to help each other through prayers, through healing thoughts, through sending words of inspiration and hope, by meeting via phone, phoning one another to check on each other. I have great faith in the good people of Knox and in this community, that in this time of uncertainty, we will rise to the challenge and help each other out. So we won't wait for someone to reach out to us. We'll reach out to someone else, especially someone we may not even know or be particularly fond of, because the world more than ever needs our goodness and our compassion. And remember Jesus' words, "Take heart, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." We too shall overcome, because we can be the change we want to see in the world. It's happening new. It's happening now. May it be so. Amen. And we meditate or sing to the words, "Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you." Thank you. I invite you to listen to the singing bowl as it calls us all to a time of prayer and silence, and then the Lord's Prayer. Source of all light and love, we pray for people around the world impacted by this pandemic. We pray especially for the people of China and look with hope to the healing that is happening in that place. We pray for places around the world that have been hardest hit. We pray for the people of Italy and for the rest of Europe. We pray for all your continents. We pray for Canadians traveling abroad, for those who are unable to come home. We pray for their safety and their sustenance. We pray for all those who are making their way home, that there may be safety on their flights or whatever mode of travel brings them home. We pray this day for healthcare workers around the world, for all military personnel who are helping to bring peace and hope and helping all countries. We pray that those at war may put down our weapons and help one another. We pray for government leaders around the world at this time for strength, for compassion, for courage. We pray for all human life everywhere on this planet seeking to survive. We pray for lost loved ones. O God, help us to trust in you as we sing or say, "Don't be afraid." We pray this day for all those who are bringing new life into this world in the midst of this chaos. We pray for safe deliveries. We pray this day for all those who are grieving among us. We pray especially for the Biggs family and for Marlene and Tom Smickowitz as they grieve the loss of little Jonathan. And we pray for his mother, Sherry, and his twin brother, Caleb. Surround them all with your peace and your comforting strength. We pray this day for Shirley Hill as she continues to grieve for her daughter, Sharon. We pray for the family of Kenny Rogers, who brought a song to all of our hearts. We pray this day for all those who are ill and suffering in hospital, in care homes, in their own residence. Surround them with your healing love and light. We pray especially for the elderly and frail, for those with respiratory ailments and compromised immune systems. We pray for your healing love to infuse all those who are ill and bring about healing and strengthening. O God, help us not to be afraid. Through our windows, we are reminded that we live in a beautiful world. We are struck by its resilience, by the flowers that continue to bloom, the birds that continue to sing, and we give thanks for the forests and the oceans that we can walk in and by, that we might be healed by its beauty. We pray for families, for individuals who are isolated at home. Bring peace to families. Help us to get to know one another better, to appreciate the gifts that each of us bring. Bring patience for those living in families. And for those living alone, help them to know they are not alone, that there are 7 billion people in the world cheering all of us on, and that you are a God who loves each one of us, and that you reside within the depths of each of us, loving us into wholeness. And now, in the silence of our own hearts, in the silence of whatever room we find ourselves in, we speak words aloud or in our hearts for those who are closest to us and those far away. We hear you singing, O God, these words to us. Don't be afraid. My love is stronger. My love is stronger than your fear. Don't be afraid. My love is stronger. And I have promised to be always near. Let us hold to these words as we say together the prayer that Jesus taught all those who would choose to follow after him centuries in the future. Our Father and Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We sing our final hymn very appropriately as we celebrate the amazing grace of our God. I invite you to close your eyes and to receive this blessing, that as you go forth into this week, knowing what lies ahead and what doesn't lie ahead, may you sense the God of love surrounding you. May you sense the peace of Christ guiding you. May you sense the Holy Spirit that dwells within, rising up and giving you courage and peace for the living of this day and every day. Amen. And may joy be in thy heart, peace be in thy spirit, compassion be thy journey, love be in thee, and joy be in my heart, peace be in my spirit, compassion be my journey, and love be in me. And Sandy and I, and we look forward to worshiping with you again next week.